Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Please continue to feel free to eat, to take food. It is an honor and pleasure to participate in our 16th annual Zion Adar dinner. And I want to echo the gratitude, the expressions of thanks that have already been said, and add my own to Yvette and to Sabrina and to all the committee and those who've worked so tirelessly. I don't want to start to list everyone. I don't want to leave anyone out. But as always, we can be incredibly proud of the amazingly elegant and classy and beautiful dinner, because the decor of the room and the effort from the centerpieces to the wine, the amazing food, the fact that we're eating on china and drinking out of glass, as opposed to it would be more economical, paper and plastic, and it pays tribute and it honors not only you, not only us, the members of the Chevra, but it honors the incredibly holy work that we do, which deserves the greatest recognition and the greatest tribute. And so I thank our chairs who work so hard and pay attention to such detail to make sure that it turns out so beautiful each and every year. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you for worrying. Thank you for putting it together. Thank you for showing up in advance. And thank you for staying late after the fact. I want to add a special thanks additionally, as we always do, to our amazing chairwoman, Yvette Kalblum, the one and only Yvette. I say every year that I don't know anyone as passionate about this mitzvah, as devoted, as committed, and who takes it as personally, literally, as Yvette. And I want to thank not only Yvette, but Yvette couldn't put in the time that she does without the support of Aaron, her whole family. So all the Kalblums, we thank you this evening, and we look forward, Yvette, to your leadership of our Chevra for many, many, many years to come. And please God, when you'll speak at the Zion Adar dinners in the future, you'll only have stories of happiness, joy, and simcha from your family to share from the previous year. I also want to echo the thanks to the Schechters, to Barry and Dana for their generosity, not only tonight, but the chesed that they do goes far beyond supporting the Chevra Kadisha, really our pillars of chesed in so many ways in our community. Tonight's just one example, and again, we thank you for your generosity this year. And I will also lastly add a recognition to our friend, Dr. Khan. You're marvelous. Marvelous. Amazing. That's right. Stand up. I would say dance for us, but it's the Zion Adar dinner. So, but it's an incredible thing to be over 90 years old. We'll leave it at that. To be over 90 years old and still be the first one to answer the call to do a Tahara. And maybe it's inappropriate, but I'll just say that Dr. Khan's evening is not over after the Zion Adar dinner finishes. He has work yet to do tonight towards the very cause for which we are devoted. It's simply extraordinary, and may Hashem give you the strength to be able to participate and to lead with your strength of character and your enthusiasm for many years. When I look around this room, it's amazing. Our Chevra, we can be so proud because there's such diversity here. Men, women, individuals, couples, families, the homes that are our partners that we work with and for whom we're so grateful. Our amazing leaders, Yvette Kalblum, Rabbi Lyons, who leads our men's chevra, and Rabbi Lyons, who also devotes himself personally, professionally to this endeavor, to which he, Rabbi Zon, deserve a great mazel tov on the opening of the cemetery, which is a major contribution to the South Florida Jewish community and to the work that we cherish to ensure that every Jew can have a final burial that is affordable, accessible, and according to Allah, according to Jewish law. The diversity, the range of people in this room, but what we all have in common is our commitment to this incredible work. And I want to just share a quick Dvar Torah, really quoting three insights that overlap and all say the same thing. And the reason I want to share with you this evening is because the insight that derives from all three is what I think makes our Chevra, and really every Chevra, so special. What makes the work that we do, work that we can take great pride in. The Pasuk says in Micha, in the Navi, in the Prophet Micha, we're familiar with it from the Haftorah, Higid lecha Adam matov v'mashem doresh mincha. Higid lecha Adam, he has told you, Hashem has told us. Matov, what's good? U'mashem doresh mincha. In the end of the day, what does God want from us? We wake up every day and the options are almost unlimited. The sky is the limit of the choices we have. And we simply want to know, what does God want from us? What should we be doing? How should we allocate our time and our resources and our energy? What does Hashem want? So it's not a mystery. He answers, Higid lacha Adam, He told us. And the answer is, Ki masos mishpat v'avas chesed v'atznei leches im elokecha. Do justice, ahavas chesed, love loving kindness, and atznei leches im elokecha, walk humbly. Walk with modesty. Modesty not only in dress, walk with humility, walk modestly with God. And the Chafetz Chaim, in his sefer aptly named Avas HaChesed, wonders, it should either say, Ki'im do mishpat and chesed, or it should say, love mishpat and chesed. But it doesn't. The pasuk says, do justice and love chesed. Why do we have to be charged to love chesed? And why love chesed as opposed to mishpat? Why is it incongruous and consistent? Why is one do and one love? That's the question of the Chafetz Chaim in his Avas Chesed. And the Chafetz Chaim, I'm going to come back to this question in a moment by sharing two other insights. There definitely is a biblical commandment to do chesed. Whether it's visiting the sick or clothing the naked or giving charity or cooking a meal for someone who's hungry or comforting the mourner or burying the dead, there is a biblical commandment to do chesed. But the question is, where is it? How can you find it? Point to the pasuk. Open up the Torah and point to the verse that is the source of the commandment to do chesed. You can't. Ostensibly you can't, because there is no explicit pasuk that says do chesed. So in fact, it opens the door to our Rishonim, our medieval commentaries, who all universally agree that doing chesed, that giving of ourselves, being selfless, being showing empathy and sympathy, is a biblical mandate. It's an axiom of our faith. It's a commandment in our Torah. But they debate what is the makor, what is the source. So for example, the Halachas Gedolos says the mitzvah to do chesed is subsumed under the pasuk, ve'alachta bidrachav. Walk in God's ways. Emulate the Almighty. Imitate God. Imitation is the finest form of flattery. If we want to flatter God, we be like Him. God is kind and patient, giving and sympathetic, and we should emulate His ways. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says the source of the mitzvah chesed is none other than v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. We have a general mandate to love your neighbor as you love yourself, and we would want to receive chesed if we needed it, and therefore we should love our neighbor as ourself. We should be willing to do chesed for someone else who needs it. What are they debating? The two verses, the suggestion of Halachas Gedolos, that is a function of imitating God, versus the suggestion of the Rambam, that the source of the mitzvah of chesed is to love your neighbor as yourself. What are they arguing about? Hold that thought as well. Because I want to answer both the questions we just asked. Why the Navi Micha formulates love chesed versus do justice? And why do our Rishonim debate what is the makor, what is the source for the mitzvah chesed altogether? I want to answer both those questions with a third question, a third insight. And this comes from Rav Asher Weiss. The Minchas Asher asks, on the one hand, we have a pasuk that says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu. We have a teaching that we should follow in the steps of Hashem. Imitate, emulate God. And from this, our rabbis derive, the Gemara says, V'chi efshu lo la'odom l'halich achar ashchina. Can you really pattern your life? Can you imitate God? V'halo kvar nemar ki Hashem Elokecha isho chalo. God is an all-consuming fire. You can't imitate God. You'll get burnt, consumed. So what does it mean to be like God? We have to know our place. We're finite, He's infinite. We're mortal, He's omnipotent, He's omniscient. We're limited, He's divine, and we have mortality. So if we know our place, how can we be like Him? So the Gemara says, what it means is, l'haleich achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Follow His qualities. We can't be like Him. We are categorically different than God. The closest we can come to being like God is to follow and emulate what God does. Mahu mal b'sharumim. God puts clothing on those who need it. Afataha b'sharumim. Donate clothing, provide clothing for those who lack. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Biker Cholim, God visits the sick. So afata, Biker Cholim. So you too, go visit the sick. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nichem Aveilim, Hashem comforts the mourner, go comfort the mourner. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kover Mesim, God buries the dead. Where do we see God bury the dead? Brings us back to today, Zayin Adar. The reason today was designated on the calendar as the Chevra Kadisha day to honor, to celebrate, to cherish the work of the Chevra Kadisha is because Zayin Adar, the day of Moshe's death, God gave Moshe his Tahara. The Chevra had off that day. We don't know where Moshe is buried, and we didn't prepare him for burial. And after all of Moshe's selfless devotion to the Jewish people, after taking us 40 years through the desert, taking us out of Mitzrayim, showing incredible, extraordinary patience, his funeral was attended by exactly zero human beings. It was attended, and the great tribute was given by the Almighty, but only the Ribbono Shel Olam, only Hashem was at his funeral. Hashem buried him. So just like Hashem buried Moshe, we see Hashem buries the dead, so too we should bury the dead. So we learn from God, we can't be like God inherently, intrinsically, in character. The closest we can come is to emulate him. But then we have another pasuk. Zekeli va'anveyu, we say it every day in Az Yashir. This is my God and I will glorify him. And many are familiar with the famous teaching of his Hisna'a l'fan of b'mitzvos. This is the source of Hidur Mitzvah. It's why we spend a little extra money to buy a nicer esrog, put up a nicer sukkah, blow a nicer shofar, own a nice megillah. We go the extra mile to praise God when we're willing to extend ourselves a little bit more. But the Gemara has a second way of understanding. Rashi quotes, Zekeli v'anveyu, the word v'anveyu, read it as ani v'hu, he and I, e'se'atzmi kemoso, l'dabik b'drachav. I'm going to make myself like God to follow in his ways. And here the Gemara says, mahu chanun v'rachum, avata chanun v'rachum. Like he is compassionate and merciful, you should be compassionate and merciful. And we bring us to our final third question, Rav Asher's answer, which answers all three, and then you'll have dessert. Says Rav Asher, why do I need two psukim? I need Acharei Hashem Lakechem Telechu, follow God, and Zekeli Vanveo, Ani Vahu, I want to be like God? Isn't it saying the same thing? Why do I need two verses? And here Rav Asher has a brilliant insight. A brilliant insight. He says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu is pragmatic, is practical, it's functional. God does those things, you do them. They're your checklist, they're your barometer, they are the metric of a good person. God clothes the naked, clothe the naked. God visits the sick, visit the sick. God comforts the mourner, comfort the mourner. And God buries the dead, bury the dead. But you know what? You could do all those things just because you feel obligated. You can do them because you're going through the motions. You can do them because you were told and believe it's the right thing to do. You can do them as notches in your belt. And that's where Zekeli v'anveyu comes in. It says, Mahurachum afatarachum. God doesn't just do empty actions. He doesn't just deliver the services because someone needs to. He has molded and shaped. He has kiviyachol, so to say. His divine personality is merciful, is compassionate, is kind. They're not just superficial external deeds. They reflect internal character. And we have an obligation and responsibility. The second verse is not redundant because it's teaching us another level. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just show up to the Tahara room and wash appropriately and in the correct order and pay attention to detail to clean everything that needs to be cleaned and dress according to the order you're supposed to be dressed. But you're doing it while your mind is elsewhere and you don't really feel the presence of the soul in the room, and you're doing it because you want the Chinese food at the Zayin Adar dinner. You're doing it because your mother, your grandmother, your father, your great-grandfather was in the Chevra, you want to be too. You're doing it because it's a nice thing to do and somebody's got to do it. As Jews, as Torah Jews, our mission, our mandate is so much more. Not just to do the motions, the external and the outside, but to mold and shape ourselves into caring, compassionate people. To feel the pain of the neshama that's in the room with us. Who the way that we pay attention with affection and love and care and concern for the body, the vessel that carried that soul for all those years, will either comfort or further agitate the soul. You can do a tahara where you're going through motions. Check, check, check. Done, done, done. Tied it the right way. We're out. Out of here. Or you could do a tahara where you feel the presence of the soul in the room. Where you feel the pain of those who are left behind, the family members who are relying on you for the tahara you're doing. We don't just have a responsibility to take actions. We have a responsibility to generate feelings, to have emotions, to become better people, to refine and mold our character so that intuitively and instinctively we react and we respond with love and with care and with concern. And I want to suggest to you, maybe that's why there are two different psukim. The Halachas Gedolos says we learn the mitzvah of chesed from the obligation to emulate God. And the Rambam says we learn the mitzvah of chesed from the ha'avarecha kamocha. And perhaps you can suggest that the insight of the Minchas Asher can apply to their debate as well. Is it just the ha'avarecha kamocha? You know, I did a tahara? I'm not really present, I don't really feel anything, but I want someone to do one for me, so I do it for someone else. You know why I visit the sick or I comfort the mourner? Because if I were sick, I'd want someone to visit. If God forbid I was mourning, so I'd do it for someone else. That's the motion. That's the external. But the Bahag says it's much more. It's acharei Hashem lokechem teilechu. You're being godly. The difference between going through the motions externally or generating feelings internally is the difference between harnessing the godly spirit inside ourselves, truly emulating and imitating and walking in God's ways. And I end applying it to our first question. So the Chafetz Chaim and Avos Chesed said, why does the Navi Micha differentiate? He says, do mishpat and love chesed. So I want to read to you our translation of Avos Chesed, what he writes. Says the Chafetz Chaim, as for the choice of words, bless you, to act justly and love chesed, rather than to act with justice and chesed, the Prophet has thereby drawn our attention to a new and important lesson, to an area where almost everyone is at fault. Indeed, we all perform acts of kindness, writes the Chafetz Chaim, but we're kind only under pressure. When a person is in distress and needing our favor, turns to us once and again a second time, we find it difficult to avoid him, so we extend help to him. Even then, we act not at all willingly or kind-heartedly. So the Navi, the Prophet, tells us, what does God require of you? Only to love chesed. Don't think that by your occasional acts of chesed you have discharged your duty completely. One must possess a love for the mitzvah. Don't just do the mitzvah because it's the right thing. Don't just do it to put a check in the column. Love chesed. Be a person who loves chesed. In this room are extraordinary people who the devotion and dedication to doing tahara, to chevra kadisha work, which never, ever comes at a convenient time. It's never. We can't ever schedule it in advance. It never conforms to our plans. So the person is just going through the motions, feels bitter and resentful, and they do it because they're doing it externally, but they really wish they didn't have to. But the one who has avas chesed, what God asks of us is not just to do chesed, but to love chesed, to become chesed personalities. It's the difference between a person who does chesed and a baal chesed. Someone who shows up and checks off the list does chesed. Somebody who feels sympathy and empathy, who's nosei ba'olam chaveiro, who instinctively and intuitively responds, wanting to help whenever asked and even when not, that's a baal chesed. And that's what makes this work extraordinary. It's what makes you extraordinary. I'm so incredibly proud. I'm proud to be the rabbi of Boker Raton Synagogue for 1,000,001 reasons, but none of them greater than this room, than the Chevra Kaddish that we have, that serves so faithfully and loyally and takes not one penny in return. And there are plenty of other Chevra Kaddishas having their Zion on their dinner tonight, and maybe they're all looking at their bank account and calculating how much money they earned from the taharas that they performed, and I'm not judging them. That too is chesed, and many of them need parnasa, and if they deserve to be paid, they deserve to be paid. God forbid, I'm not offering or issuing one sentiment of judgment of them. But I'll tell you this, I am incredibly proud that in this room, our Chevra Kaddisha doesn't take one penny. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah. For every tahara we do, the cost of the tahara goes directly to Tomchei Shabbos to make sure people have food to eat. Whenever we do a tahara, we have not just shown kavod ames, we haven't just taken care of the deceased, we've shown kavod achayim, we're taking care of living families who need help to have food to eat for Shabbos. How incredible and how proud we should all be And that's not just doing chesed where you get paid for it. That's avas chesed. When you don't take one penny, you're not reimbursed for your gas or your time, and you show up because a fellow Jew needs it. And because we want to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we want to show and express the love that's inside us, that's avas chesed. That's what it means to be a baal chesed. And for that, I'm so incredibly proud. And again, I want to thank those who made this amazing, amazing dinner. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank all of you, the members of our chevra, and your families who lose you and give you up when you run out of the house on a moment's notice. Maybe you should thank us sometimes that we let you do that, but we thank you for showing up, and your families. Please, those whose spouses or children are not here tonight, go home and say that they were thanked, because we know it takes the sacrifice and the commitment of a whole family. So thank you very much. Next year, may we have no Tahara work to do, but if we're called upon to do it, may we do it with a sense of avas chesed. May we show up with great love. Thank you.